This is episode 549 of the Prepper Website Podcast, where I connect you with resources that will help you live a more self-reliant life so you can love your people, get prepared, and live free. Today's article, 12 Tips How to Be Homeless and Survive. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily curation of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Hey everyone, this episode is sponsored by the HydroBlue VersaFlow Water Filter. Now, the VersaFlow may be the most versatile water filter currently made or currently on the market. So not only can you use it for your own personal water filter needs, but you can also turn it into a family-sized water filter. Now, I've created a free video and also a PDF tutorial that shows you how to easily do this. And right now, you can have this family-sized water filter for under $25. So to watch the video, get the free PDF tutorial and a code for 20% off of the VersaFlow, click the link in the show notes or visit prepperwebsite.com/VersaFlow. All right, guys, let's go ahead and jump into our article of the podcast. It comes to us from theprepingguide.com. And again, the article is entitled 12 Tips How to Be Homeless and Survive. Now, sometimes when I read articles, I think the author sometimes mixes, you know, SHTF with the way that you can, you know, utilize some of these skills in everyday life, right? And so sometimes I think people are writing for the end of the world as we know it. You know, again, like I've said before, I like to think in the now and then also how we can apply it, you know, apply things if we were in a poop hit the fan situation. And so I like to look at things both ways. Is there an application now? Is there an application then? You know, can I use it in both places? That's the same thing for gear, right? If I can use gear now and use it and I can be familiar with it and all that kind of stuff, which you should be. And then at the same time, this is gear that you would use if, you know, things really went south. You know, that's what you want. That's where you want to be, right? That's where you want to be with gear. And so in this article, I want to read it and I want to read it for both applications, I guess. And so I'm going to read it. I'm going to go through it. I might stop and give a little bit of commentary here and there. But I want to come back on the back side of this, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, and maybe provide some other insights as well. So let's go ahead and start reading. Again, coming from theprepingguide.com, 12 Tips, How to Be Homeless and Survive. Did you know that one-third of Americans are one paycheck away from financial ruin? That's a scary but realistic truth. Americans aren't as financially prepared as we should be, and one massive medical bill can send your finances in a downward spiral. Homelessness is something anyone can face at any time. Now, learning how to be homeless and survive is a skill set everyone should have, especially if you like to be prepared for an SHTF scenario. You never know if a situation will force you out of your home onto the streets. Now, being homeless forces people to become resourceful and skillful. You learn how to take advantage of what you have available to you. It's easy to look down upon homeless people, but we shouldn't. Even if they've made mistakes, no one deserves to be homeless. Also, in the events of a massive disaster, they would fare better than others, so maybe we should learn a few things from them about how to be homeless. So the first key takeaway is layers of clothing are key. Learning to stay warm is pretty important when you're on the streets. Sleeping outside in the cold means you need to dress in layers. Three or more layers is crucial. First, you need a layer that's closest to your skin, then an insulation layer that helps keep you warm. The third layer is the shell that keeps you protected from the wind, rain, and snow. You want to think about the choices of clothes wisely. Clothing can have other uses too, like rope, bandages, shelter, or to collect water. Everything needs a purpose. So most people assume bulky winter jackets are a smart pick, but you're better off with multiple light jackets that you can remove or add as necessary. These lighter jackets dry faster too and make great shelter covers. Okay, so definitely layers are important, but I would say layers are important as well, even if you're in the heat. Same thing can happen. You want to provide that insulation, right? when you the sun is beating down on you, and that outer layer, although it's not going to be a jacket, you know, something like that, you know, a thin cotton long sleeve shirt will protect you from the sun's rays and getting sunburn and all that kind of stuff. Next up is use newspapers. So one of my favorite movies still is The Day After Tomorrow. There is a scene where everyone is huddled in a library and they're trying to stay warm. With them, they have a homeless man who shows them to stuff newspaper into their clothing for insulation. Genius. Newspaper can be used for several uses. They work as shelter, blankets, pillows, toilet paper, and fuel for a fire. Now pick the right place to sleep. One of the biggest concerns when you're homeless is figuring out where to sleep or rest. Sometimes you can find shelters for the homeless or abandoned buildings that you can use. When you're picking an abandoned building, you want to make sure it isn't a hazard. Safety is important. If you aren't too sure, try to sleep close to an exit or under a support beam. Most importantly, you don't want to be alone. Finding other homeless people does help your situation. When you have a group of people sleeping together in the same area, the cops are less likely to bug you, and there is safety in numbers. You do want to be careful because it can be dangerous to encroach on the territory of other homeless people. Depending on the people in that group, there might be risk involved, but it's risky to sleep alone as well. So you have to pick your battles. You're more likely to be robbed or attacked if you're totally alone. Then you want to stay warm. Staying warm is one of the most important things you need to do to stay alive. A large portion of our energy in our body goes to keeping warm, including over 50% of our calories. The colder you get, the more food you will need. That's not good. So dressing in layers and using newspapers like mentioned above are good steps, but you might want to try a few other tips, such as put cardboard underneath of you like a layer of insulation between you and the cold ground. Try a survival tent or a Mylar blanket to hold in more heat. They're small and fit well in survival bags. Then gloves are necessary as well as socks because fingers and toes get frostbitten first. Hand warmers are nice as well. If you don't have hand warmers, add warm water to water bottles and hold them between your hands, but wrap the bottle in a towel to avoid it leaking. Next, try to stay clean. This one isn't easy because you probably won't have access to a shower with soap very often. Trying to keep yourself as clean as possible does help. Wet wipes can easily be stored in your survival gear. Stopping at public toilets gives you access to running hot water, letting you clean yourself properly. And staying clean may not seem like a big deal, but it does help with morale, and that matters. People tend to treat those who look nicer better, and you're more likely to get help. Let's not forget that good personal hygiene helps to reduce the risk of infections, and dirt rubbing on you can cause rashes or blisters. So keep baking soda on hand. It's one of the cheapest items for personal hygiene that's versatile. You can mix it with water, and it can be used for soap, deodorant, shampoo, toothpaste, and more. A box is less than $1, and you can find it at most stores. It's definitely a survivalist friend. Next up is use up what you have. Figuring out how to use what you have is a mentality that survivalists need to have. You might not always have what you need brand new from the store. Without the means to get those items, you have to figure out how to use what you have and make it work. Creativity and imagination are necessary when repurposing your items. Plus, the more things you get, the heavier your backpack will be. Since you'll be walking a lot, keeping things as light as possible helps your back. Next, don't leave your stuff. Your items are your lifeline, and you can't afford to lose the stuff you do have. Everyone around you might be as desperate as you are, and leaving your things unattended gives people the opportunity to steal your things. While you might feel comfortable, never be that comfortable, even if you feel safe. Have a first aid kit. If you are able to prepare ahead of time or have the means to get one, having a first aid kit is really important. Who knows what could happen when you're homeless? Everything can get a lot worse if you don't have access to a medical facility. While you can recycle things that could apply to first aid, you want some medicines with you. Things such as antibacterial ointment, antiseptic solutions, and pain relievers are necessary. You also want to bandage up cuts and to stop bleeding. Next up is store food. You won't be able to buy food, and if you're in a disaster scenario, heading to the store may not be an option. Scavenging doesn't always work either, so keeping stored food in your survival gear ahead of time is a smart idea. That means you need to pick food that can be stored long term and food that won't weigh down your bags. If you have a place to store things, canned goods, soups, and canned meats are filling and give you the necessary protein. Next up, be ready to leave. One thing that homeless people understand better than others is being ready to leave quickly. Homeless people are always on the move, rarely staying in the same place for long. Law enforcement officers make them move. In the event of an urban survival situation, you'll probably be on the move just as much. Staying in the same area for long can be dangerous. Angry mobs or scavengers could see you as a target. One tip to remember is to keep everything gathered up in your bag unless you're using something. That makes it easier to leave quickly. Next, avoid conflicts. Whether you find yourself homeless because of a financial situation or due to a survival situation, avoiding conflict is the most important self-defense tip. You don't want any injuries when you live on the streets. Even a small injury can become dangerous without any close medical attention. It might seem like a small cut, but minor cuts can turn into infections quickly without proper cleaning and management. Then blend in. Have you ever thought about how many people are homeless, but we have no idea? That's why the homeless are called America's invisible population. Most of the time, it's because homeless people don't want to be noticed. They've perfected blending in with the population. When people know that you're homeless, you tend to become a target for thieves, and being noticed means that you might be kicked out of whatever location you've chosen. This is something to consider when you're in any survival situation. Blending in is a key to preventing people from trying to take what you do have. For example, if your power goes out for the long term and you're the only person who has a generator, you quickly become a target to everyone else in your neighborhood because you have lights on and no one else does. Blending in is important. And to finish it all up, prepare yourself for homelessness. Being homeless could be a result of several events, but being prepared ahead of time is smart. It'll be a test of your willpower and determination to survive and survive well. Remember these tips on how to be homeless and stock necessary items in your bug out bag now. All right, guys, so maybe you picked up a little bit about what I was talking about as far as being homeless and then being in a survival situation. And sometimes they're not always the same, right? So we talk a lot of the times if you are bugging out, you're not bugging out and you're homeless. You're bugging out to a certain location. And so that's a lot different. The things that you would have with you are going to be a lot different than if you were homeless. If you're homeless, that's a whole different scenario. So let's talk a little bit about that. And here's the thing. I really expect everyone to be listening, that's going to be listening to this podcast. You're already preparedness minded, right? And so that means that you are thinking, you have those critical thinking skills in place, and you're already thinking ahead a few steps, right? And so when we think about that, we look at our situation, our financial situation, and if we find ourselves, you know, with the possibility of being homeless, then we are already making some kind of plan to move forward with that. So whether that is we're moving into a homeless shelter, we found a place to live, we have family members, we have this or that or whatever it is, right? Most people don't get kicked out on the streets and then just go run the streets and like, okay, I'm homeless and that's it. Now, I have known people that have lived in their vehicles. And so I worked when I was really young, still in high school, I worked for an electronics store, did it temporarily like during the Christmas break and then stayed on with them for a little bit longer after that. But there was people that worked for this organization that were homeless. And it was one of those things where you basically worked on commission, right? So if you sold, you know, you sold a lot, like during Christmas, you could make a lot of money really, really fast. And then, you know, you could go live it up, do whatever you want to do. But there was a couple of guys that did this, that lived in their vehicles because, you know, they didn't have family members, whatever, they were from another part of the country. But they chose, you know, there's always options, but at this time, they chose to live in their vehicles, and that's how they live. And so they would, you know, you had to be dressed nicely to be here, right? So you had a coat. So they were very careful about, you know, where they put their coats and where they put their clothes and different things like that and how they slept. They would always try to go clean themselves as much as possible, even if it was like, I'm going to go to the YMCA, or if I'm going to go catch a shower in somebody's, you know, home, they're going to allow me to do that, or whatever it might be, or even just using, you know, a sponge bath type, you know, deal, right? Where, you know, you're just rinsing off the most important places so you don't smell, and then, you know, going from there. And so they chose to live that life. So let's talk a little bit. If you caught yourself in that situation, there are people right now that live in vans, and they live in vans because they've wanted to do that. So there is, you know, there's a couple of videos that I see always popping up in social media channels where they've this couple have like completely revamped this van on the inside, man, and it just looks beautiful, right? And so they can travel the country, they can live in it, and it's really, really nice. So I know if you're probably hurting financially, you probably wouldn't be doing anything like that, but you could be preparing way in advance for that if that was something. So if you had maybe a truck with, you know, that it was a four-door truck, right, like I have, you could sleep in the back, you know, in that back seat if that's the way you wanted to do things. If you had a van, you could throw, you know, a cargo van or whatever. You could throw a mattress back there. Of course, it wouldn't be as nice as some of the things you see on, you know, YouTube and stuff like that. But you could do that. And I think you still need shelter in some form or capacity. There are groups out where I live, you know, out in the suburbs. And again, people choose, right now in today's age, they're choosing to do this because there are programs where they could go into. They want to be free, right? They don't want to have to do all the things that they're calling them to do. But where you have maybe some woods, right, and maybe some open areas, you can find people that have, and again, they're hidden, exactly like this article was talking about. They're hidden, so you really have to know where they're at, and you really have to look for them. But they're living in tents, and so they try to keep, things quiet. They don't draw a lot of attention to themselves. They don't cause problems, but they do have tents where they live, and they do it that way. Time to time, people that are in ministry or whatever, people who know that are back there, they might go take them water, big cases of water, or they might take them food and different things like that. They have ways to cook, but basically they're just like on an extended camping trip, but that's the way that they've chosen to live. So that's another thing. Outside of living in your car, you could choose to live that way. Again, you're going to have to do something about hygiene, and you're going to have to do something about, you know, water and things like that. The cooking thing, right? So they were talking about here in this article, they said, you know, keeping it, stashing it somewhere where if you're really homeless, you don't have a place to stash it. So, you know, that's one of those things. And then they talked about putting it in your bag. If you truly were living out of a bag, then most of the contents of that bag is going to have to be food. Unless you just have a lot of money, or you're just willing to live day to day with not knowing if you're going to eat. I mean, that's possible too. There's a lot of nice people. I mean, we have people that panhandle on, you know, on the corners out here as well. Probably where you live, they do that too. And people will, instead of giving them money, will go buy them a sandwich or whatever, give them something like that. I have a guy at church who keeps water in his vehicle, and he goes through it pretty quickly. So it's not in there in the heat of Houston, because whenever he sees a homeless person or someone on the side of the road, you know, they're panhandling for money, he gives them, you know, 3, 4, 5 bottles of water, as much as they can carry. So a lot of the times those people really aren't truly homeless. They're just wanting a quick buck, but nevertheless, you know, those people are out there. And so you could live that way. I don't know if I would want to live that way. I know that I don't like to go hungry. And so I would, more than anything, probably the things in my backpack would be the means to cook my food and would be my food, right? And that's everything else I would have to have on me. I would have to carry that kind of stuff on me. So in pockets and, other little bags that I can, have connected to me, you know, through, a molly web or whatever, using it that way. So there's a lot of things to consider if this was the case. I know that I've linked to a lot of articles in the past where you can learn from, you know, different people that are homeless. I remember one, a guy was talking about a hobo, right? So it was like living like a hobo or something like that. They were talking about the signs that they have, right? That kind of say, hey, this is a safe place, this is not a safe place. All those kinds of things that people that live that transient lifestyle, you know, they know all of that. And so anyway, this guy, he picked him up and he was like, hey, you know, do you need a place to stay? And so the guy said, hey, I just, you know, thank you for your offer, but can I just stay under your tree? He didn't want to stay in the home. But so the guy goes out there and he's talking to him and he brings some food out, and the homeless guy or the hobo or whatever, you know, he cooks it up and it's like the best meal ever, you know? And so some people just choose to live like that. They just want to be free. They don't want to be attached to anything, you know? And sometimes you think about that and like, man, that would be great to live like that. But there, you know, that comes with a whole bunch of other stuff. So most preppers, if they found themselves moving into a situation where they were going to be homeless, would be coming up with some kind of plan. The plan needs to be that you have some kind of shelter, right? And so if you don't have someone that you can move in with, then you have to have some kind of shelter, whether that's a vehicle or a tent. And that's going to have to be very important. But you're going to have to think through, what are you going to do with food and water and that type of stuff? If you were in a true SHTF situation, I don't know if I would want to be moving around as easy. Because again, the food thing is going to be a big deal. I would want to have, and for instance, if I found myself in a homeless situation, if the poop had hit the fan, I would want to find a place where I could have a base of operations, right? And where maybe I could meet up with some other homeless people. I don't know, you know, I don't know what that would be. But I would want to do that, because you couldn't depend on other people to give you food. You would have to find food and you would have to stock that up. So a lot of things to consider here. More, like I said at the very beginning, I don't think a lot of us would truly find ourselves homeless. I think we can learn lessons from the homeless. I think we can learn lessons from people that choose to live that lifestyle because they want to be free and they don't want to be attached to anything. And there's things like, hey, like living that minimalist lifestyle. I don't have attachments to anything, so I can leave this behind. I'm going to have with me the most important things. And then the most important things are going to be the skills that I keep with me, that I take with me, that I have in my head, because I don't have Google. I don't have a bunch of gear. I don't have, you know, the internet and all that type of stuff. This is stuff that I just know how to do because I'm living out there. So what do you think? What do you think about, you know, lessons that you can learn from the homeless? What would you add? What would you say? So you can always come over to episode 549 and leave that in the comments. I make it very easy for you because I have a link in the show notes. Well, guys, that's it for this article. Again, coming to us from theprepingguide.com, 12 tips on how to be homeless and survive. Like always, I'm going to link to it in the show notes. You can go check it out. And then again, I welcome you to share your thoughts on episode 549 over at our comments as well. Well, everyone, that's it for episode 549. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Head on over to theprepperwebsitepodcast.com. And that way you never miss another episode of Sweet Prepper Goodness. And take a moment to connect with me. I have a ton of ways to connect in the show notes. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government, grid, or the grind. Until tomorrow, stay prepped and aware. Peace.